Perek Zion, Mishnah Yud Aleph. In order to understand the Mishnah, we have a small introduction. So when we would set up the Korban Pesach, we had discussed that it was done in groups, right? So number one, when you shecht this Korban Pesach for the group, you've got to make sure that there's enough meat in this Korban Pesach, the amount of a kazayas, for each person in the group to eat a kazayas, a shear, from the carbon. So if you have 30 people in the group, make sure it's a big enough animal that they each get a kazayas of meat from the carbon. And it's also only parts of the carbon Pesach that are edible, meaning it's not going on the bones or the sinews that are very, very rough. It's only the edible portions. So that's one thing to keep in mind. And then the second thing to keep in mind is that there's a halacha that you're not allowed to break the bone of a carbon Pesach. It's learned out of a special pasuk. So what is the din if a person does break it? The rule is that he's actually chayv malchus. So we're going to discuss now these two concepts in the Mishnah. Kol hanechal bishar hagadol. Any portion which would be eaten technically in a big ox, okay? And assuming that, you know, any parts that are hard already became hard, so we're only looking at the soft parts that are edible. So then, ye'achel bigdi harach. They could be eaten in a soft goat. Meaning, we use the big ox as the, you know, as the leveling point. So anything that would be edible in a big ox is edible in a soft goat, and the soft goat is what you brought. Harach means soft, means a young goat. The goat is what you brought as your actual carbon. So then you would use it as like a mirror and say, okay, is it edible on a big ox? It is. Okay, so then it's edible on this goat that I'm bringing as a carbon, and therefore it adds up to the kazayas of these participants in the group to have their kazayas to eat from the Korban Pesach. So, but parts of the carbon that are not edible by this big ox, let's just say they're just, you know, they're bones or whatever it is, so then are not edible in this goat. So if you have a big group and the goat's very small and you see which parts of the goat are edible, you gotta make sure there's enough of a kazayas for each and every one of the participants of the group. And they say over here, for example, v'rashi kenafayim v'hasechusim. Rashi kenafayim is the tips of the wings. Sechusim are the sehuzim, which is the cartilages of the ears and the chest. This is how the Gemara explains it. So the Mishnah is coming to tell us like this, that what are the parts of this big ox that are edible through shlika? Shlika is when you cook it, you know, for a very, very long time. So these things, the tips of the wings or the cartilage of the ears or the chest, if you cook it for a long time in a big ox, they're edible. So by a goat, by a young soft goat, if you were to roast it, right, Sliya, you were to roast it, it would be edible as well. And these are the two different parts that we're giving as an example that would correspond in this small goat or the carbon, that they're edible, and therefore you have to make sure you've got that these could be added to the regular meat from the carbon to make sure that you have a shear of a kazayas for all the participants. So if the pulkies and the chest, you know, give you almost a kazayas for all the participants, but then these two parts of the animal, the tips of the wings and the cartilage of the ears and the chest, you know, give more, you know, of an edible portion to the animal, we can add that to the shear and make sure now that there's more, you know, parts of the animal that could be eaten to make sure that everyone of the group gets a kazayas, a shear kazayas from the carbon to make it valid. Okay, so that's the idea. Next part of the Mishnah. Hashover es ha'etzem. So if a person breaks a bone of the Korban Pesach, it's a special pasuk from the Torah. You're not allowed to break the bone. Why exactly? I'm not sure, but this is the mitzvah in the Torah. So you can't break it. So what happens if a person did? So if it's a Pesach tahar, by a regular tahar, pure Korban Pesach, he's a low karbam, he's chayev malchus, he gets whipped 40 times, severe lav. It says ve'etzem lo sishpru bo, you shouldn't break the bone. Okay. Aval bat. Hamoser b'tahar. Let's just say hamoser. Someone does hamoser b'tahar. Afilu b'karban b'tahar. So what happens? Two different cases now. What happens if a person does nosar, meaning he leaves over parts of the carbon overnight that's not eaten by regular kosher tahar carbon pesach? Nothing to do with breaking a bone. Just stam. He does nosar. He leaves over leftovers. He's not supposed to leave over leftovers. The pasuk says lo susimu b'menu ad bokar. Don't leave over leftovers. But he did it anyways. And what about the next case would be v'hashover b'tamei, or one who does break a bone, but he breaks the bone of a tamei carbon pesach. So these two cases, eino loka es harbam, he doesn't get malchus. Meaning even though no sar is a lav, it's a negative commandment, and breaking a bone is a negative commandment. But these two halachas, these two cases, he wouldn't get whipped. So when would he get whipped if he does no, if he breaks the bone of a regular kosher tahar carbon pesach? He's chayav malchus. But if he leaves over meat from the tahar carbon pesach, or he breaks the bone of a tamei carbon pesach, even though they're both negative commandments, they're lavs, he's not chayav malchus. Why? Because in the nosar, he just did a passive act. He didn't do something positive. He left it over. He didn't actually, you know, do a positive breaking of something. So therefore, since it's only passive, there's no action. The rule is if there's no action, there's no maisa, you don't get malchus, even though it's a lav. And in addition, there's another reason why you don't get malchus is because it's a lav hanitik la'aseh. It's a lav which follows an aseh, meaning it says, don't leave over no, sir. But if you do, burn it. Oh, so it's followed by a positive commandment to burn it. So also the rule is if it's a lav hanitik la'aseh, if it's a negative commandment followed by a positive commandment, also you don't get malchus. And then regarding the breaking of the bone, the reason why you're not chayav malchus is because the carbon was tameh. And even though you're doing a negative commandment and it's an action, it's a real maisa, you're breaking it, the whole thing was tameh. And if it's tameh, it's disqualified. So therefore, in that case also, you won't be chayav malchus. The only case out of these three cases that we discussed that you'd be chayav malchus is if you broke the bone of a regular tar carbon pesach, and that's the second part of the Mishnah. Whereas the first part of the Mishnah, we're discussing something totally different. That we have a group of, let's say, 30 people, and they're eating the carbon pesach, and we know that each has to have a shir kazayas to make it a kosher carbon. We discussed, you know, what parts of the carbon make it edible, because only the edible portions you can add to the shir kazayas, and that covers, you know, our Mishnah from Mishnah Yud Aleph. Mishnah Yud Beis, we also have a small introduction in order to understand the new concepts. So like this, we learn in Mishnah Tes that a carbon Pesach that leaves the walls of Yerushalayim on the 14th day of Nisan, it becomes pasul, invalid, and you have to burn it. So the rule is also, if the carbon Pesach left the Chabura, meaning the night that you're shechting the carbon Pesach and you're eating it that night, so you have a Chabura, you have, you know, 30, 40 people in a group, and they're all in a house. The rule is that it can't leave the house. And if it does, it's also, it's invalid and has to be burnt. It's learned that from a pasuk in the Torah. Those hotzi min habayis min habasar chutzah. Don't take it out of the house. So it's very, very strict. When you're actually eating it that night, you can't even leave the house, of the group that's eating it. And the Mishnah is going to discuss now what happens if, you know, let's just say part of the carbon left the house. So what do you do? Is the whole thing invalid? Is just that part invalid? So let's see. Aver shiyatza miktsaso. If you have a limb of the carbon Pesach, that part of it left the house the night of Pesach, so then, whether it left the wall of Yerushalayim or the home where the person was eating the carbon, chotech, he has to cut off, ash megillah atzem, he cuts off that part of the meat up until he reaches the bone, and then that part will burn, okay? Then the kolif ash megillah parak. Then he removes the rest. He peels off the rest of the meat that did not leave the house, which is still good meat, and he puts it aside to be eaten. Then the chotich. Then he'll sever the part where the, you know, by the joint. He'll sever it over there, and then he could burn the whole bone. We're not going to have him break the bone because the bone, we said you can't break the bone. So it's a whole process. He has to remove the part of the meat that went out. Then he has to remove the part of the meat that's still inside, and that he could eat. And then at the joints, he'll remove the bone because he can't break the bone in half, and take the bone, take the part of the meat that left the walls of the city or the walls of his house, and then burn that all together. And if you may be thinking that the rule is he can't even leave his house, what do I have to have a rule that I can't leave the city? That's obvious. So it's applicable like this, because the night of Pesach is when it's eaten in the house. That's when it can't leave the house. But Erev Pesach, it's still Erev Pesach. So then you didn't bring it in your house yet. That's where it would apply that it can't leave the city. So that's how you differentiate between the house and then the walls of the city. So let's say, for example, you had an arm of the animal, and, you know, half the arm went out. So you'd cut off all the meat. The meat from the part that went out would have to be burned. The meat from the part that's inside could still be kept to be eaten. But then once you reach the joint, you disassemble the entire bone, and the bone, in this case, the whole bone, even if this part of the bone went out, the whole bone would have to be burnt. Because again, the meat we could divide in half, right? But the bone you can't break. So the whole bone would have to be burnt. This is an example to bring out the point over here. Now, what about umikdashin, all other kinds of karbanos? So there's also a rule that they can't leave, you know, certain limits of either, you know, Yerushalayim or of the city, the Beis HaMikdash. It's different halachas. But let's say they left their boundaries. So there it's different. There, kotis b'kofetz, you could chop it with a knife and cut the whole bone in half. You're going to have to start, you know, first separating the meats of which meat left, which meat didn't, and then, you know, unassemble the bone. Because by all other kabanos, there's no rule of not breaking the bone. So it's much easier. Just take a knife, chop the whole piece in half where it left. There's no isser, there's no prohibition of breaking a bone. So just chop the whole thing in half from where it left, and then that you burn, the rest you could eat. The Bar Tanur explains, kachi, more strict kachim that leaves the azara, or kachi kalim, the more light kachim that left the walls, of Yerushalayim, so those have a rule that they have to be burnt. So here, you don't have to start dividing the meat, like we just discussed. You could chop it, mamish, cut it straight down through the bone, break the bone in half, there's no prohibition there, and then just take that part and burn it. Next, minah agaf vilafnim klafnim, minah agaf v'lachutz klachutz. So if you're by a doorway, the way it works is that agaf is a doorway. So they explain like this. Agaf kari kol makam agafat delasot shu chofi v'nogu sham kizgor v'hainu tfasafnim v'sha. Okay, so basically, the inner part of the doorpost and within where the door closes is considered the inside of the house. And then from the outside of the doorpost and going outwards, the outside of the house. That's how you measure, you know, what's considered inside, what's considered outside by a doorpost. So if you took a door and you closed it, wherever it closes, wherever that hitting point is, from that area and inward is considered the inside of the house. And then, you know, from outside where the door closes and going out is the outside of the house. That's how you'd, you know, differentiate and draw the line of a doorpost of what's inside and what's outside. So regarding a doorpost, that would determine what's considered inside and you're still okay. What's considered outside would have to be burnt. Then hachalonos v'obiachoma kilafnim, windows and the thickness of a wall is like inside. What does that mean? So windows that were in the walls of Yerushalayim, okay, or just the thickness of the walls of Yerushalayim. It means the like the roof of the Yerushalayim. So the windows within the walls of Yerushalayim, the windows within the walls of Yerushalayim, or the wall itself, the roof of the wall, when you're standing on top of the roof, that's considered like you're inside, and if the meats went over there, it doesn't have to be burnt. It's still like you're inside Yerushalayim. And again, these are just brand new concepts regarding karbanos, and that concludes our Mishnahs for today.